Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I hear it often, if God exists, and if God is good, then why doesn't he do something? Take care of all the bad people. Get rid of evil and wickedness. Get rid of poverty and sickness. Get rid of war. Make everyone get along. If God is good, then why can't he, or why won't he, deal with all the bad stuff? I think when people speak this way, what they're wishing for, whether they know it or not, is for Jesus to come back in all of his glory and make all things new, as he promised to do. The problem is, when people speak this way, they don't realize they're probably not ready for Jesus to come back in all his glory. For you see, if Jesus were to come back in all his glory, many, many, many people would not be ready. They would not welcome him. It would not be a beautiful day to receive Jesus. They would not believe in him. They would not receive him in faith and hope. Rather, they would run scared and hide from his glory, just as people did back in the Old Testament when they weren't prepared. For when Jesus comes in all his glory will bring everything to light. And for many, many, many people, it will be a terrifying experience. Because many, many, many people have not reconciled with the facts that they're a sinner. And they have no ability on their own to stand before a perfect and holy God who comes in all his glory. They haven't reconciled with the fact that they need a Savior to save them from their sin, not a genie in a bottle to give them what they want. What they don't understand is that, along with you and me, we are all part of the problem we complain about. We are by nature evil. They don't realize that God is being merciful and loving by waiting to come back in all of his glory, giving us all time to repent and hear his word, receive his grace and mercy. Now, other people, when they speak in this way, you know, if God exists, why doesn't he just do something about all the bad stuff? I think they do believe in Jesus. I think they're repentant. But perhaps they expect there to be no sorrow, no tough life for those who follow Jesus. They too forget that Jesus has already taken care of all the bad and all the evil in a most precious way. He walked this earth in human flesh in great sorrow. He took care of all the bad stuff, including you and me. And many Christians followed Jesus, literally followed Jesus to death, giving their lives as a witness that he has already taken care of all the evil. You see, the incredible thing about Christmas and Advent as we prepare for Christmas is the truth proclaimed in many of the songs that the adult choir is about to lead us in and the other musicians lead us in. And that is this. That God came in humility. Not in all glory, he came in humility, in human flesh, to save us from our sins. That's why his name to be Jesus. You just heard it. The angel said, you'll name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. The incredible thing about Advent is the prophecy. And in Christmas, how it's fulfilled, that unto us a child is born. Not unto us a warrior is here, but a child is born. A child. God's kingdom, God's almighty power, and his desire to destroy all evil, sin, and death, and the powers of the father of evil, Satan, has come in the form of a child, a baby born of a woman. It has come in humility, in meekness. It came in suffering and sorrow, even to the point of death. And it came this way because it had to. If you and I and anyone else would be saved, it had to come like this. You see, if God came in all his glory, oh, he had to disguise his glory, his power and his might. Otherwise, it would have terrified Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and all the people of the first century. I mean, consider what the glory of the angels did to the shepherds and Mary and Joseph. And then consider if Jesus would have come as true God in all of his glory and power and might. God had to disguise His glory, His power, His might. Otherwise, it would have destroyed them and all of us. It would have terrified us to the point of not just death, but eternal death. So Jesus was wrapped, not just in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger, but Jesus, the very Son of God, was wrapped in the frailty of human flesh, so that our sinful human flesh could adore Him, welcome Him, hold Him, walk with Him, talk with Him, eat with Him, and more importantly, so He in flesh could live among us perfectly, live for us perfectly, die for us perfectly, and rise for us perfectly, so that all evil and even death would be destroyed. If God exists, why then doesn't He do something? Well, He did. He did it in the most historic way. He had a name. He had fingerprints. He had a mother. He had an address. He did it in the most humble and humiliating way as God in flesh for our sakes. It was the only way. God lowered Himself into human flesh, into the arms of peasants, into a manger of a stable, so that He eventually would be lifted up on a cross so you and I could be saved. So the next time you wish the world would just all just go away, or the next time you or you hear somebody wish God would just do something, consider what Jesus has done, according to St. Paul. He, being the very form of God, did not count equality with God to be grasped, but He made Himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And when you consider this and believe this, what Jesus has done already for your sake and mine, then you can begin to consider what He will do one day, when He comes back in all His glory for sure, as He promised through the Apostle John. Behold, I am coming again. I will make all things new. I will wipe every tear from their eye, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. In Jesus' name, amen.